What's up, guys? My name is Doug, and I'm a drug addict. I am the facilities chair, and it's been really awesome this year to work on this, and it's so cool to see all you guys here, and I'm really happy that you guys came. And thank you so much, because this was a lot of hard work, but it was also a lot of fun. I'm going to introduce our next speaker. This is Johnny T. from Gainesville. I got to see him speak last year at the National Convention, and it was awesome, and I'm really excited to see what he's got to say today. So it's Johnny T, everyone.
How y'all doing? I'm a dope addict. My name's Johnny Tatum. And I ain't from Gainesville. I'm from Lawley, Florida. Y'all know where that's at? It's in the middle of no daggum where. We got one red light. 700 people in Lawley. Y'all got more people in here almost than we got in Lawley. I'll tell you what. This is rural area. A lot of dope in those woods, boys. A lot of dope in those woods. I'm glad to be here. Zach did an outstanding job. How'd y'all like that? I thought he did a good job. Well, we got to take Zach back to that place in Jacksonville, what was it, 5 years ago? Where he did the knee walking, crawling in the shower place. And he got to walk in there, experience all that again. And was the guy who was managing the place now living there when we got there? Was that the story? I thought I remember that. Okay, pretty cool. Was that the guy you went up to?
Yeah.
That was the guy you went up to. Now he's a patient there. Okay. That's pretty cool. All right, I guess I was supposed to talk about step two and step three. Thank y'all for letting me share. See y'all tomorrow. All right, let me tell you something. Step two, there's a lot of stuff. Step two, we are not here to prove there is a God. That is not the step. That is not what we do. We're here to show you why you might need a higher power in your life. All right? You're the one who has to do the searching. The foundation of step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, is step one. Because I'm going to tell you exactly what step one is. Boys, it's a death sentence. Look, if you're powerless over drugs and alcohol, guess what? I'm powerless over blinking. I'm going to blink again. All right? I'm powerless over being hungry. I'm going to get hungry again. All right? I'm powerless over taking a leak. I'm going to take a leak again. You're powerless over dope. Guess what? You're going to use again. How long have you been sober, Zach?
10 years.
How many groups you helped start?
Several.
Several groups. Sponsor them? Don't mean shit. You know that? You're going to use again. That's the truth. See, the first part of step one, admitted we are powerless over not. That's the truth. That is your truth. The second part is your God. The self-management. Managing that. The reason we are so screwed is, I can't control my consumption, I can't control my desire, and the God I'm serving, the God of self, has made my life so bad. Trying to fix me, trying to make me better, trying to do this, greed, this, that. I'm serving the God of self, my life's so unmanageable. That's what that means, you're serving the God of self. You come in here, I got a God problem. No, you ain't. You had God all your dadgum life. God of self. Why do you think your life's so unmanageable? Why do you think it's so unmanageable? Because the God you have is no bigger than you. So all we're going to ask you, all we're going to ask you is step two. Bill made it pretty easy on step two. He said it's only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than yourself. Nothing more is required to make a beginning. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, we come in here from all different spectrums. We come in here from people who are raised in the church, who have a belief, who know exactly who their power, believe in the power in themselves, of what they call God. They know. They couldn't connect, but they know. All right? Then we have people who come in here that's never been in church, never believed in nothing. And we got two different crowds. Let me tell you how it goes here. And I'm reading some history on this. And Bill talked about it. We had a group over here, and because we used the word God, they didn't tell you how you're supposed to use that word God. You got to do it this, and you got to do it that, and everything's got to be, I mean, you're using it wrong. Then we had the atheists and the agnostics over here saying, no, you can't use that word God. Yeah, you're doing that. You can't talk about it. And both of them are pissed off about step two. The only time the devout one and the atheist agree with each other is on step two. One of us pissed off because we're using it wrong. The other's pissed off because we're using it at all. How else do you get two opposite people to agree with each other? And Bill's thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do? He said he didn't write the book, he umpired it. And we come in here with the same problem. We come in here with such a wide, wide variety of a belief system, okay? But the truth is, step one, I don't care what you believe or what you didn't believe, what you're pissed off about us using, or what you're offended by the way we use it, the truth is you're godless self. How do you like the God of self? It was just running your life perfectly, wasn't it? Staying stone. You got a death sentence. You got a death sentence. You're going to die. If you're lucky, you get sent to prison. How many people you know dead because of dope? How many people you know dead because of dope? How many people you know dead because of dope? That's the truth. And you're following. I've been sober 16 years. I've helped start many groups. We started the first DAA group, and oldest member of DAA in the state of Florida. It don't mean crap. It don't mean crap. You know, because of step one. Because I'm reused again. And that's the truth about Johnny. I introduce myself as a drug addict named Johnny Tatum. I don't introduce myself as Johnny Tatum, a drug addict. The reason I introduce myself as a drug addict, because I need to remember that first. It don't matter if I can't remember my damn name, as long as I remember what the heck I am. Because step one is the truth, and it is the motivating factor for everything else we do. Alright? I'm a little bit Pentecostal on this, y'all. I'm a little sorry. Because I tell you what, I can't stand lounge chair speakers. You know what I mean? Because we're dealing with a death sentence here. And we come in here, and let me tell you, get out of my daggum way. Don't you feel bad? My wife's been dealing with me for 36 years, okay? Step two, and in working with others, they help us approach this in a way that we really need to look at. It says, if we're dealing with the atheist or agnostic, on page 93, it says, the main thing that he'd be willing to believe in a power greater than himself and live by spiritual principles. If he's the devout one, at the bottom of the page, it says, admit that he probably knows more than you do, but calls his attention to however deep his faith and knowledge, he could not apply to it or he wouldn't be drunk. Step two, first, lay aside everything you think you know. You're wrong. Because the truth is, you didn't even know it. You were serving the God of self. You thought you were a Christian. No, you weren't. You thought you were an atheist. No, you weren't. You thought you were Jewish. No, you weren't. You was the God of self. So let's set aside everything. Let me tell you, if you've been really serving that God you believed in, you wouldn't be the selfish, self-centered, self-absorbed dope addict you was. You would be something else. So because of step one, I got this death sentence over me, and I can't fix it. See, the steps are pretty simple. Alright? Step one's the problem, step two is the solution. Step three, I decide to seek the solution. Somewhere between steps four and step nine, you're gonna have a spiritual awakening. Step 10 and 11, make sure we keep alive. You know what step two is? You know what step two really looks like? Step 12. Step 12 is step 2. If I'm to be restored to sanity, I'm a chronic, hardcore drug addict. So what does sanity look like for me? It looks like I have had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. It looks like I'm trying to carry this message to other drug addicts and practice these principles in all my affairs. That's step 2. The step two up here is before you are restored to sanity. The step two down there is after. It's just too simple, baby. This is how simple the steps are. My mechanic's name is Oil Tanner. So I'm driving my truck down the road. My old diesel truck. Man, I'm just a motor. Woo, baby, I'm going to town. All right? I live in the middle of nowhere. It's a long way to town. Okay? I'm going to town. All of a sudden, motor, the oil pressure gauge drops. Red lights come on. Smoke's coming out of my motor. Man, I fire this over my motor, and I can't manage to fix it. Step one. I believe Oil Tanner can fix my motor. Step two. I make a decision to turn my motor over to Oil Tanner. Step three. Oil Tanner says, I'm not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. Johnny, I want you to make a list of every defective part in that motor. Step four. I make a list of every defective part in my motor. Step five. I admit oil. These parts are bad. Step six, I'm willing to have oil remove these parts. Defective parts. Step seven, oil grabs up them defective parts, throws them in the garbage. Step eight, I'm willing to mend my motor. Step nine, I mend my motor. Woo! Yeah. I make amends to that motor for mistreating it all them years. Step ten, I continue to take inventory on my truck. Man, I am checking the oil. Air pressure in the tires. I'm keeping that joker waxed. Radiator is clean. Alright? I'm looking for any little defect in that truck that might keep me from rolling down the road. Step 11, I improve my conscious contact with my mechanic. I start hanging out at the garage. I'm hanging out at Oil's garage now, baby. Out there. Every chance I can. Step 12, I'm driving down the road. You're broke down. I said, hey, baby, Oil Tanner can fix your truck. That's how simple the steps are. If you are convinced of the first one. So I'm going to drink and drug myself to death. And me trying to fix me. Me trying to self-gratify me. Me trying my little plans and designs. Everything else is my God. Look, will I admit this? I can see it. But if we have anything, where can we start? Can we start simply? Let's start simply over here with tradition one. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on DAA unity. So my recovery depends on DAA unity. That common welfare thing. Common welfare means I got a common problem, common solution, common God, because all of us are seeking a power greater than ourselves, which will restore me to sanity. If I can apply common welfare, which is others, that God, simple as it is, can I start there? That our common welfare, I believe our common welfare can restore me to sanity. The power of others, helping others, the power of managing self. Which one are you going to serve? Which one are you going to serve? A chapter to the agnostics. They give us a little work to do. And it says, therefore, when we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception. This applies too to other spiritual expressions you may find in this book. Do not let any prejudice that you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean. At the start, let's not miss this next sentence. At the start, this is all we need to commence spiritual growth, to affect our first conscious relationship with God as we understand Him. So the really step two in the beginning is simple. Alright, they're talking about something. What does that mean to me? See, we never would do that. When we're under the God of self, we resist, our ears are closed, we don't listen to nothing. We are angry at religious people because of their judgment. We think atheists and agnostics are fools. And as I'm snorting cocaine myself to death, who's the damn fool? Me. Because of my God of self. Okay. In the beginning, I was willing to say our common welfare. Because I had no connection. I was brought up in the church, y'all. I remember I was early in a meeting, and there was this lady, I'd never forget her name. Her name was Barb. I'm 2 months sober. And she was pissed off that we were saying the Lord's Prayer after the meeting, and it was a Christian prayer. And I had two thoughts. Number one, I was embarrassed. See, I didn't know it was Christian. I thought it was Jewish. And number two, I didn't care if it was Islamic. I'm saying it. I didn't care. Recently, this past year and a half, I had a joy of sponsoring three Muslim doctors in a row. Bam, 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 bam. And when I was standing, we was holding hands with one, and we were saying the Lord's Prayer, and I looked over at him and I says, "This offend you?" He says, "Are you saying it, Johnny?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "And I'm saying it." About 3 months later, I had another one. We're saying the Lord's Prayer. I looked at him and I says, "This offend you?" He says, "Johnny, dying a drunk death offends me. This is just a prayer." One of them emailed me the other day. I mean, texted me the other day. Says, "Johnny, I'm flying to Mecca to do some religious ceremony. Will you pray for me?" Now, let me set the picture for you. Because we have laid aside prejudice. Both of us had in our life. I got a devout Muslim doctor from Kentucky calling a redneck Christian boy from Bradford County. Population 24,000 people in the whole county, one high school, okay? Backwards as you can get. To pray for him as he flies to Mecca. Where else do you get that but in here? When I quit serving the God of self, me trying to manage my life, I start trying to serve, at least in the beginning, the God of our common welfare. The group, the people, anything. The God that will keep me. Let me tell you something. In the beginning, if that's where you start, it's cool. Things are going to change. Hopefully we'll grow into our beliefs. All right? If every one of us came in here with a belief in God and everything like that, and a certain belief, chapter 2 of Gnostics would be about 3 pages. Okay? It would say, look, you've missed the point with God. You missed it. Just drop all your prejudice. Let's start over again. It doesn't do that because we come from such a wide variety of beliefs. I mean, we have atheists, agnostics, Christians, Catholic, in the Christian religion, we got Catholics, Baptists, Pentecostal, Methodists, and then we got the Jewish guys, and then we got Muslim guys. I mean, we got a wide variety here, okay? Wide variety of dying dead men and dead women. And you're going to tell me my God wants me to judge you because you're not a particular sect of religion I was and let you die because you don't believe like I do? The God I serve does not feel that way. Let me tell you something. I'm very tolerant of anybody's higher power. Please be tolerant of mine. Do you understand that? I'm very tolerant. I remember when I was in the nut house, right? So they got me in the nut house. I'm sitting there with a boy. I'm in the sawmill business. Y'all run the lumber sawmill. I'm sitting there with a boy. We're looking out this big old plate glass window. And this boy back there says, "Johnny, see that big old pine tree?" Well, I've been looking at that tree for a while. And I said, "Yeah, I see it." He says, "That's my higher power." Now, at 2 weeks over, I had sense enough not to tell that poor fool that I cut down about 10 or 15 loads of those a day and turn them into sawdust and boards. You know what I mean? Okay? I just couldn't do it. I couldn't break his heart. Look, if you got this little boy and you're sponsoring him and he decides he's a Buddhist, you jump up and down for him. Okay? Yay! If you got this little girl you're sponsoring and she decides she's Islamic, you just jump up and down for him. If you got this little guy and you think you just jump up and down for him, okay? Because we know this. If he doesn't get some connection with some kind of power other than himself, chances are he's going to go back to snorting and drinking and doping. He'll probably get behind some wheel of a car and my babies are on the road. So whatever power they choose, don't you judge. Alright? And don't you judge mine. I see people get offended because some people say Jesus in the room. Well, you jump up and down when he says it, alright? Alright? Or some other about you jump up and down when he says it. Because at least he's got something other than the power of self. Alright. am I willing to set aside? He uses the word prejudice over and over and over and over in the chapter to Gnostic. Will you set everything you think you know about God? Good and bad? Because if it's the truth, it's not going to change. Don't worry, baby. If it's the truth, it's not going to change. But we missed something. Something we missed. We have to start over again. It's as simple as this. Let us make haste to reassure you. We found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even unwillingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results. Step two. So it asked me to do one thing. Set aside my prejudice and then ask myself, what does that mean to me? Okay? And it's that easy. It said came to believe, baby. It didn't say starting out believing. Read the step. Alright? Read the step, baby. If you were so good with God, you wouldn't be here to begin with. I'm sorry, you ain't that good at being that bad. You're just a dummy like the rest of us. All right. Step three. Have I confused everybody enough in that? All right, okay. Step three, it says, our description of the alcoholic, our chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideals. A, that we were alcoholic, could not manage our own life. A, that we were a dope addict, could not manage our own life. I'm a dope addict, and I, my God, serving me is killing me. B, that probably no human power could relieve me of my alcoholism. Both of them, step one. Step two, that God could and would if he were salt. God could and would if he were salt. That, see that word salt in there? It's the best word for us dope addicts. We dope addicts are the greatest seekers in the world. So I was sitting in this old trailer one time, and I was snorting some cocaine. This boy's a crack addict, right? And he hung something up. He thought he saw a rock fall out of his pocket. It was in the bottom of this nasty-ass closet, y'all. I mean, stuff is this deep. He goes through that closet. Stuff is coming out like a surgeon, okay? He finds that rock. We are the greatest seekers in the world. I can put you in North Mississippi in a town you ain't never been in, boy, and you'd be high tonight. I could walk in a bar. This is how it got. I could walk in a bar and look around. That was... He's snorting. That was eating pills. That, he's a speed addict. I'm getting one going. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we had that sixth sense. We could do it. We were the greatest seekers in the world, so that's some great news, baby. I'd put you in a dry can in North Alabama, and you'd be drunk tonight, okay? These three, because these ideals are very important, because it says being convinced of the ABCs. Are you convinced of those ABCs? Are you convinced of them? If you are, we can move forward. If you ain't, we've got to go backwards. Simple as that. It's just too easy. Which we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we're understanding just what do we mean, just what do we do. Your will and your life is self. I'm sorry. Just like the unmanageability of your life is self. Your will in your life. Your will in your life is your mind, your thoughts, your desires, what drives you, it's your ambitions, it's your dreams, it's your fears, it's your hates. It's these thoughts of these people that have done you wrong. It's your crimes against humanity, it's the crimes against you. You notice in steps one and two, we never talk anything about what happened to you as a child or happened to you as an adult. Does it have a damn thing to do with your alcoholism or drug addiction? Doesn't have. Why I am a drug addict, as Zach touched on it. The euphoria I get when I use is different than the euphoria that 90% of the world gets. I remember the first time I got drunk, it was me, my brother, and my cousin. The euphoria I got behind that sawdust pile was different than the rest of them. That's what makes me an alcoholic drug addict. The Silkworth was specific. The effect starts it. The allergy continues it. The insanity kills you. That's what it means. Didn't say anything about bad things happening as a kid. See, that's the cunning, baffling part of alcoholism and drug addiction. That stuff that happened to you, I'm not minimizing that, please. Because a lot of us went through some stuff. That stuff that happened to you does not make you a drug addict. But that stuff that happened to you will keep you from recovering. It will block you. It will block you. If traumatic things as a child is what made you a drug addict, then I would not be sponsoring all these titty baby boys whose mom and daddy loved them and adored them and just gave them every little thing they wanted. You know what I mean? If traumatic things is what caused your drug addiction, then psychotherapy would work. That's not what caused it. But it will block you from recovery, baby. It will block you. That is why step three is so important. Are you willing to turn the disasters and the garbage of your life, the harms done you, the harms you've done others, the dreams, the aspirations, your thinking, yourself? Are you willing? I'm not telling you to set people free. We're going to do that later. That's step four and five. Okay? Are you willing to say, all right, God, you do the thinking on it. Just the first requirement is to be that any life run on self. Oh, then we're going to talk about that self stuff again. Any life run with a God-named self, any life run with a God-named Johnny can hardly be excess. On that basis, we're almost always in collision with something or somebody. Has your dog, your life seemed like a dog fight till you got in the rooms of recovery? Was it a dog fight? I mean, nothing. There was assassins everywhere. Was your life littered with assassins who are out to screw you and everybody and everything, as you know? The assassins, they're after me. The cops hate me. They are after me. They are watching me. They'll let the dope man go, but they'll arrest me. Bastards. Mama loves my brother and my sister, but she hates me. The boss man is sucking up to that no good joker, and he's up working, and he hates me. She's running around, she don't love me. She's running around, she don't love me. She's running around, she don't love me. Hell, you ain't got no girlfriend. Wow. Collision. Now, didn't they give us some really thing right here? Most people try to live by self-propulsion, you being the God. Each person's like the actor who wants to run the whole show, forever trying to arrange the lights about the scenery, forever trying to arrange your hatred enough that it justifies your dope. Forever trying to arrange your victimization enough that it justifies your dope. Forever trying to arrange wrongs done you, or wrongs you done others, or the screw job you got out of life, or your insecurities, or your big shotism, your superiority. See, this is the cunning, baffling part about this. The one who feels superior is using it just like the one who feels inferior. The guy who, and I have sponsors and superior feeling little jokers, all right? I want to knock them in the head with a dadgum hammer. What I want to really do is hit them in the knee and cripple them so they act like everybody else. All right, you know what I mean? And I have sponsors of superior acting jokers, and I have sponsors and people who, when I hear their story, I want to go shoot the people who harmed them. Okay? Wow. It says, if his arrangements would only stay put, have you been an if-only person? If only I'd had a better home. If only she hadn't left me. If only the law hadn't arrested me. If only I'd have stayed in school. If only, has your life serving you, the God of self, been a list of if-onlys? How do you like the God of self? How do you like it? Then it goes on to say, like we are kind, considerate, trying to get our way. We're kind, considerate, gracious, modest, even self-sacrificing. Either we're mean, egotistical, and selfish. We dope addicts are the greatest eye watchers in the world. I mean, we can read people's expressions with their back turned towards us. We'll be looking at them saying, hey, baby, man, you know that man that lives down the road, and I know he's got some good dope, and I ain't got no money right now, but man, will you go down Buddy Row? Oh, I'll pay you back, Buddy Row. And we're looking at him, and we know he ain't fixed the deal. Well, screw you then. We'll go just like this, won't we? Just like this, from one side. And when we come into the fellowship, when we come into the common welfare, that actually turns into a great gift. Because we're sitting in a room and your buddy walks in and we look, what in the hell is wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me, bullshit. Because we have practiced watching eyes for years, kids. We have practiced this. God turns it into an asset. It used to be a liability. Because now with our fellows, our common welfare, we can automatically tell the ones that are disturbed and we can be of use. Where we used to be disturbing others. Wow. Says what usually happens, the show doesn't come off well. He begins to think life doesn't treat him right. Oh. He decides to become more gracious and whatever. He becomes angry, indignant, self-pitying. What is the basic trouble? Is he not really... Now, they're hitting the unmanageability of your life square on the head. See, before they ask you to turn it over on page 63 here, they give you their last attempt at showing you why you should turn it over. We've given you lots of evidence about the physical evidence and your insanity in all the chapters before. Now they're giving it, really nailing it on the head while we're actually going to turn our thinking over to God, because it really screws. And now they're fixing to put a little statement on you that describes your unmanageability so well. It says, what is the basic trouble? Is he not really a self-seeker when trying to be kind? Have you ever been driving down the road, stopped to change somebody's tire because you thought God was watching and he'd give you brownie points? I have. Have you ever given extravagant gifts during Christmas or something because you knew you'd been living a selfish, self-absorbed life, so you'll give your children really fancy stuff or your boyfriend or girlfriend really fancy stuff to try to buy forgiveness? Have you ever acted like you were concerned with somebody when really you were just trying to be nice to try to be an actor? Have you ever started out a conversation? Hey, Buddy Rose, you remember when I kind of picked you up that time? Does your act of kindness come with a cost? Are there a payoff? Is the payoff forgiveness? Is the payoff indebtedness? Is the payoff look at me? Is the payoff I'm not as bad as... Is the payoff self-delusion? Look at it. Next one just beats the hell out of you. Is he not... Are you not a victim? A victim means you're suffering. Are you not a victim of delusion that you can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if only you manage well? Are you not a victim of your own thinking? All your little plans to improve your life, if only I can get even with them for what they did to me. Those bastards. What they did to me. If only I can get even with them, I'll be okay. If only I can get her, I'll be okay. So we do these things to try to get even, to try to get us, or to try to get ahead. And who do they screw? Us. Talk about the unmanageability of your life. When your own little plans and designs to improve your life screw you, baby, I would fire you for running your own life a long time ago based on job performance. You suck at it. You have run yourself into the nut house, into the jailhouse, into the dog house, into the poorhouse. Everybody's house but your own dadgum house. She's left you. They won't talk to you. And you're so sick, you think another line of cocaine will fix it. The God of self. Because the God of self's all you got. You're screwed. Wow. Are your own plans ruining your life? More evidence why I should make this decision. At the bottom, Are you the producer of harmony or are you the producer of confusion? Can people set their clock by you? Does your family know the check is coming home? When you say you're going to pick them up, are you going to pick them up? Does the boss man know you're going to show up? Does he know you're going to stay? Or is it just a dadgum mystery? Will he show up? What's he going to say? How's he going to act? Is he going to show his ass? Is he going to blame everybody else? Is it going to be full of self-pity where we can't stand him? Or so damn pompous we can't stand him? Because it can go either way. Alright? It can go either way. We'll use it. It says we are self-centered, egocentric, as people like to call it nowadays. Now this is the example. He says you're like this. Now, he's describing the dope addict, and he says this is what you're like. All right, and let's see, do you like being like this? He's like the retired businessman who lulls in the Florida sunshine in the winter, complaining of the sad state of the nation. So let me set the picture for you: retired businessman, got money, sitting on the beach, sunglasses on. Waves are splashing on the ocean. Girls are running up and down the beach. The sun is shining perfectly. And you're bitching. Everybody would, man, he's got it made. And you're bitching. He says that's what you're like. He says you're like the minister who sighs over the sins of the 20th century. Wait a minute. Built-in customers. Ministers are here to serve to the sick. We got more sick, man. We're going to build this church. Not this minister. This is too much. I can't do it. He says that's what you're like. He says you're like politicians and reformers who think all would be utopia if the rest of the world would only behave. I got news for you. Y'all are not going to behave, much less the rest of the daggum world. Delusional. Delusion. The outlaw safe cracker who was lost on and locked up. The outlaw safe... Wait a minute. The outlaw safe cracker stole from us and he's locked up and he's mad at us because we locked him up for stealing from us. He says that's what your thinking's like. That's what you're like. You're robbing everybody and you're pissed off because you got put in jail for robbing everybody and it's everybody's fault that you're in jail. And he doesn't, he really kind of, I mean, folks, he doesn't really talk nice to us right here. He ain't really coming right out and saying, you're an SOB, I mean, but he's dadgum close to it. I mean, look at the language he's using. He's as selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of your trouble. Look how they brought us to this point, though. It's cool. They started out by saying you were sick physically, you couldn't control your consumption. Doctor's opinion. We agreed with that. Then it says, you know, you're kind of sick crazy. You can't control your desire. You're insane. You talk yourself into using it. And we agreed with that. Then he told you lack of power was your problem in chapter 10 Gnostics. We agreed with that. Then he gets here and says the dadgum truth. You're self-centered SOB. If we start out the 12-step call by calling them a selfish, self-centered SOB, we lose them. But if we start out the 12-step call by saying, hey, you're sick physically. You're sick mentally. You have a lack of power. It's exactly the way the book is laid out. We can come to this point. I can accept this point because of what I've accepted in the past. Okay? Driven by 100 forms of fear. Oh, hell, they're going to find out about me. Self-delusion. I'm really not that bad. Self-seeking. If they'll just leave me alone, I'll be all right. If I can get even with people, I'll be all right. If society will punish that SOB who screwed me over, I'll be all right. If I can only get that job, I'll be all right. If she only comes back, I'll be all right. If I can get her. Self-pity. I ain't getting none of that. We step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation. The old saying, I'm sitting in the refrigerator minding my own business. Next thing you know, here I am. Y'all don't know that joke, do you? This is old boy lived downstairs in his apartment. This old big boy lived upstairs. And he had this beautiful girlfriend. Oh, the boy, the alcoholic, would look at her when she'd go up and down the steps. He loved her. I'm going to see her one day. The old big boy went to work one morning. the alcoholic slips up there, knocks on the apartment. She invites him in. Oh, you're so beautiful. You're so sweet. And he's trying to make his move on her. By the time the big guy had left his lunch bell, bam, 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 he hears the door. Oh, hell, he's scared. She looks at him and says, you're going to die. He runs, jumps in the refrigerator, closes the refrigerator, scared to death. Big man walks in and said, I can smell that SOB. Where's that drunk at? Looks to see the shirt tail hanging out the refrigerator. Picks the refrigerator up, throws it out, three-story building. Drunk dies. St. Peter says, what are you doing here? He says, I was just sitting in the refrigerator minding my own daggum business, and here I am. We actually believe that about our life. We actually believe that. How insane is that? So our troubles we think are basically our own making. Which is some of the better news in the book. Because if your trouble is people who harmed you or people you harmed in the past, if your trouble is your wife, the IRS, the police department, you're screwed because you can't change them. But if your trouble is you, the only thing in this world you can change is you. And if your trouble is you, you can change it. Good news. But the bad news comes next. So they arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic, drug addict is an extreme example of self-will run riot, does he? Though he doesn't think so. You're an extreme example of being your own God, and you don't think so. And it says, above else, we must be rid of the selfishness. We must, or it kills us. Folks, there's as many death threats in this book as there are promises. We want to look for the promises. I'll tell you, better look for the threats. Okay? It says, this is a how and why, but first of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. How do we play God? With our thinking. Usually, contempt prior to investigation. I hate to tell this story, but about 6 or 7 years ago, I was in Walmart, right? Walmart's got the 15-item lane. I have my 6 items. I'm going to the 15-item or less lane. There's this lady in front of me, right? And she's got a quarter of a basket. This is how crazy I am. And I'm sober when I'm doing this. I start counting the stuff in her basket. And I'm trying to get her to look at me, all right, so I can let her know what kind of bitch she is, all right? And she needs to get her and her dadgum bunch at quarter buddy bag and get over there with the rest of the dadgum people because there's 15 item or less people are coming through. Now, for all I know, she has a mother with Alzheimer's disease in the car. And she's just trying to get in and out. Maybe she can't read. Maybe she didn't see the sign. But no, me, the God of self, is judging her. I have a tendency to drive a little fast going down the road. So I get my old big diesel truck, I'm going down the road, and I come up on you, you know what I mean? I have a big cattle guard on front. I come up on you, and I back off. I expect you to get over. I mow along through. Well, it doesn't always work that way. I come up on you, you don't get over. Oh, God, I'm coming up on closer this time. My wife starts freaking out about this time. And I'm judging you for you are doing this on purpose. You are selfish SOB. You are blocking the fast lane. Get your butt over there where the hell you belong. And 90% of the time I get around it and it's an elderly man or elderly woman is hanging on for dear life. But when I'm behind you, I'm judging. When I can't see what's in front of me, see, this is how I play God. I think I can see further than God can. I think I got eyes that look in the future further than He can. And I can't see from me. I can't see tomorrow. I can't see in the next second. He can, but I think I can. That's how I play God. I got vision further than God's. It says I had to stop that. So next we decided, now here's your third step decision. So next we decided to hear after the drama of life, God was going to be our director. Are you willing to give Him power over these resentments, over these fears, and over this misconduct? Are you willing to give Him that? Because we're going to ask you to in the fourth step. It says, He is the principal and we are His agent. The agent works for the principal. Here, 3 or 4 years ago, my son got married and I gave him a little piece of land to put a trailer on and I had to pull some permits. I didn't have time to pull all those permits. I hired an agent to go pull those permits for me. The agent works for the principal. A lot of times we come in here and people say, what do you do, man? Oh, I run a sawmill. No, that ain't what you do. What you are is an agent of God disguised as a sawmiller. That's the truth. If you'll accept the role, that my first role is agent of God. And I'm disguised as a guy who works at the store. I'm an agent of God, and I'm disguised as a guy who works at the hospital. I'm an agent of God, and I'm disguised as somebody else. We're giving Him power over the thing, and we're working for Him. Then it goes on and says, this is the other position we got to take to complete step three. It says, he is the Father and we are his children. I got news for you. He's not your God. You're his kid. How many times we say, my God says you're going to hell. Now we're telling God who to send to hell. Look, when I had two children. We're empty nesters now. Both my kids 32 and 30. But when they were young, I'd send my daughter. I'd say, you go wash the dishes. And I'd send my son to mow the yard. Is it any of my daughter's business how my son is mowing the yard? Mm-mm. Is it any of my son's business how my daughter's washing the dishes? Uh-uh. No, it's not. So I don't know what Dad wants you to do, but I know what Dad wants me to do. And that's what that means. Get out of the self-judgment. I don't know what Dad wants you to do. I know what he wants me to do. Step 12 tells me. Wow. Most good ideals are good, and this concept is the keystone to the new and triumphant arch. We pass the freedom. And folks, it's hard to turn this stuff in the past over. Some of us have been harmed terribly by others. And it has scarred us for years. Some of us have done some stuff to others. And it has scarred us for years. Guilty of some crimes and I'm so ashamed of. Are you willing to set that aside? If not, I will be in bondage to it. It says, when I sincerely, now, before everything to the book at this point has been like this. They give us step one and step two, all right? If you read the book up to this point, they'll tell you the problem. Then a few lines or a paragraph later, it'd be step two. Not one part of this book is devoted to step one or step two. The whole book is, it's starting with the chapter two, the doctor's opinion. XXV triple I tells you you got an allergy. Next bottom it says you had to have the power greater than ourselves to recreate our lives. I mean, it's just the way the book is. It's one, two, one, two. Bam, bam, bam. At this point on page 63, the whole book changes the way it is. The book changes at this point. Do this and you get this. It becomes a mechanics manual. Before this, it's let's diagnose the problem. After this point in the book, this is how we fix the problem. Okay? It says when we sincerely took this position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer, being all powerful. He provided what we needed. If we kept close to him, performers worked well. So what do you need? First thing that usually comes out of your mouth is food, water, and air. Right then, self of God. No, you are here to be a servant. What you need is a message. If we are to really do the common welfare, what you need is a message for the next suffering dope addict. So if you perform his work well, God will give you a message. You'd be saying words you ain't never heard of before. Man, I come out of me. How many of you who've been sober for a while and really started working this, said something and thought, where the hell did that come from? It wasn't you, baby. It was God. Established on footing, we became less and less interested in our little plans and designs. More and more, we're seeing what we can contribute to life. Let me tell you, the program of recovery is very countercultural. And that's why it's so hard for many to accept it. I was raised in a generation, you only go around once. He who dies with the most toys wins. Take, take, take. Get all the gusto you can out of life. And now they're telling me, give, 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 give. To find true satisfaction. See, I was told, no, baby. I got to take, 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 take. More boats. I bought 18 Harley Davidsons. And I knew every Harley Davidson was going to make me happy. Boats after boats. Campers after campers. Fast cars after fast cars. Greed. You know what's really our problem? We don't say it. Greed. We call it selfishness. It's greed. I got to have more of everything. As we felt power flow in. Now look, you can walk around saying, I'm powerless. This is about, let me tell you what this is about. I bought this about 2 or 3 years ago. The Snap-on truck come by. I bought this little Snap-on grinder. You know, a little 4-inch grinder, right? Now, I'm just holding this little grinder. It ain't much to it. You mean you're talking about it. I'm holding this little grinder. It ain't much to it. I plug it in right here and put the extension cord to it. I'm running you out of here, you out of here, you out of here. I turn it on, baby. It's buzzing. All right? It's bad. You're gone. All right. Ready to go? 5 minutes? Or whatever.
5 minutes.
That's what it's saying you are. You're like that little Makita grinder. Plugged into God, you're bad. And you're coming in here, you're powerless bullshit. You're a powerful joker. You got a message that could change life. Read page 124 in this book. You can change some lives. You can save people from death. You can avert their death and misery. Is that what you want, or you want the God of self? We'll finish up. Many of us said to our makers or understand it, God, I offer myself to thee, build with me and do with me as thou wilt. What it's saying is, here I am, God. Total surrender. See, step three is the surrender step. Not step one. Step one is where I admit I got it. Step three, I surrender to God of self, to the God of recovery, to the God of the church I go to the God of wherever I attend. Okay? And let me tell you, somebody says, what if he wants you to be a missionary in Africa? God never asks you to do something. He doesn't give you a passion to do it. I have guys I sponsor come to me and say, Johnny, we decided to start this little group down here. No hell you didn't. God wanted that group decided, and he's just letting you take credit for it. That's how cool God is. He was cool before the word cool was ever. I've had people come, well, Johnny, I decided to go back to college. No, God wanted you to go back to college to make some money so you can feed your family, but he's going to let you take credit for it, all right? That's how cool God is. If you're wondering if it's something God wants you to do you have a passion to do it? He provides the passion and the way. You just provide the butt, all right? We leave me in the bondage of self. These thoughts, these ideals, these crimes done towards me, these crimes done towards others have kept me in bondage. Take away my difficulties and victory over will bear witness to those I help with thy power, thy love, thy way of life. Step three, take away the things that have kept me down so I can carry the message for you. Now, baby, snorting cocaine in a corner of your room, shooting opiates, or carrying a message of hope. Which one do you want? Which one is better? I drove here in my car. I got a driver's license. I got insurance on the car. It's mine. I didn't spend time at the dope man's house. I didn't stop at the bar, and I ain't running around my wife. Judge me. I ain't free from sin, but I'm free from shame. First time in my life I knew that is when I accepted this way of life. Make the decision. Thank you all.